Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Christmas to all of you from us, your hard-hitting Liberty Roundtable Live team. This is the broadcast for December the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Man, have we got a great lineup for you today. Hard-hitting guests, topics, and a whole lot more. I'll have to put off the recap of yesterday's show because we've just got so much going on. We'll still do it, but it'll be later in the broadcast. So this is the broadcast for the 22nd of December. Christmas is rapidly approaching. Are you ready? I'm always ready because I always tell everybody it's not about how many gifts I have got or wrapped or don't have. It's about the reason for the season. That is our Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'm ready to celebrate his life, his sacrifice, and his resurrection 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. Speaking of that, they say the winter solstice just kicked in. That means it was the longest night of the year. What, last night, they say? Wow. Shortest day, longest night. But I'm glad more light going forward because we need light. We need God. We need family. And we need country. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Our website for the show, libertyroundtable.com. Our nationally syndicated radio network, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Tell your neighbor. Live and on-demand radio, free at your fingertips. All right, we have an incredible guest today. We had him on several weeks ago. When we had him on before, he provided stunning insights and solutions in his intriguing new book, Universal Medical Care. And you think, what? Universal care? We don't believe in that. Just listen, folks. Universal medical care from conception to end of life. The case for a single-payer system. And you go, what? I'm not for that. Oh, yeah, you are. Because this is a libertarian that wrote the book. He wants a single-payer plan, and that has nothing to do with government paying your bills. There are solutions that put you in charge, and that's what the book was all about, and we covered it in great detail. Well, he's got another brand new book available now, man. This guy's busy. Murray's brand new book, Navigating the Boom/Bust Cycle, an entrepreneur's guide. We'll get into it with Dr. Murray Sabrin. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, and Merry Christmas, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be with you, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Now, navigating the boom/bust cycle is a tall order, but you call it an entrepreneurial survival guide, sets out a provocative roadmap for right now as we deal with inflation, fears, and a whole lot more. What got you to write such a book? Because usually they just say things simply like this. It's the economy, stupid. But it's a lot more complicated than that, isn't it?
Well, it's complicated and it's not so complicated. For anyone who studies economics, finance, and money realizes that when you print money from a central agency or like banks did in the prior to the creation of the Federal Reserve, you create inflation, and sometimes you create massive bubbles like we had in the 1920s which ended in the crash of 29 and led to the Great Depression, because Hoover and Roosevelt both did everything wrong in order to try to boost the economy out of the depression. And now we've seen the same thing over and over again since the end of World War II. The Federal Reserve inflates the money supply, thinking that it's a necessary and sufficient condition for economic growth. But anyone who studies economics and finance knows that economic growth becomes from capital formation, which is based upon real savings and investment, not by creating funny money that all it does is debase the value of the dollar, creates winners and losers like the 1% versus the rest of us, and it distorts the economy. So you have people making decisions not based upon true supply-demand signals, but all this cheap money, which with the Federal Reserve manipulating interest rates. This is the great horror show that we have today, Sam. Inflation for the past year is up 6.8%, and we're getting close to zero on our savings accounts and money market accounts. This is highway theft. This is grand larceny on a most massive scale. In fact, one study recently was published pointing out that since the Federal Reserve engaged in this quantitative easing, which is another way of debasing the currency by printing money, savers have lost $4 trillion in interest. Think of that number. $4 trillion of interest have been lost by savers because of the Federal Reserve's policies. And all that's done is boost the stock market, which is good if you own stocks. And a lot of people don't own stocks. And it's also created a massive new housing bubble. I'm living right now in Southwest Florida. And in some communities, prices are up 30-40% from a year ago. This is clearly unsustainable. And it's only possible because the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates down. So mortgage rates are dirt cheap compared to the inflation rate. And whereas in another upward swing in the cycle, which is going to end very badly somewhere down the road.
All right, you mentioned that they believe that they're helping the economy with the Federal Reserve, and I believe a lot of the mid-level and low-level people and the average Joe and Congress and a lot of these people believe that. But really, the people at the top know they're creating winners and losers. The people at the top know all fiat systems fail. This is by design, right?
Well, you could take that position, because when you look at the history of the Federal Reserve, it was created in a secret meeting that the Federal Reserve now acknowledges on their website. In the history of the Federal Reserve, the secret meeting took place in 1910, I believe, in Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia, where Wall Street bankers, a couple of people from Congress and an economist got together and basically drew up the blueprint that became the Federal Reserve Act that Woodrow Wilson signed, President Wilson signed, on December 23rd, right before Christmas in 1913.
Yeah, tomorrow then, in 1913, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, this year in 2021, I got the chance to go with G. Edward Griffin to Jekyll Island. I literally knocked on the very door where they claim it all went down, sir.
Well, this is an event of historical proportions, because what the remember, this is during the Progressive Era, where businesses went to the government to try to create cartels in order to keep out competition. It was sold to the American people as an anti-big business era, but it was in fact, as Gabriel Coco points out in his magnificent book, The Triumph of Conservatism, this is an example of crony capitalism on steroids, where government agencies were captured by the financial interest and business interest in order to keep out competition, keep prices high, and really do a job on the general public. And so we've been living with that system ever since the Progressive period. And now the progressives want to take us a step further with universal basic income and modern monetary theory, which is basically print money ad infinitum in order to provide funds for people. And this is going to end very, very badly, as we know from history and economics and finance, that you don't create wealth, you don't create prosperity by debasing the currency. And if debasing the currency was the solution to our problems, Venezuela would have the best economy in the world, since their currency is collapsing.
It's a disaster in Venezuela. And sadly, those who don't understand real, honest money economics, they're literally pointing to Venezuela as kind of the way to go, acting like it's somehow some kind of a moral high ground. They're crazy. Now, small business owners are really the backbone of America. But you know what? How can these businesses steer clear of a problem, but yet, hey, make their companies thrive and all this kind of stuff in this kind of an environment? It seems like small businesses are the ones that are getting the shaft, whereas big business is almost getting a special I don't know what you want to call it, handout, corporate welfare, whatever you want to say. How do we thrive as a business owner in this environment?
Well, this is really one of the keys to in my writing this book is what do business people need to know more than they know more than the economists know, and certainly the Federal Reserve officials, because they see every day what their flow order is, what their sales are, what the demand for their products and services are. So they have a good handle on the micro level as to what is happening in their community. But the point of writing this book is to give them a perspective, the broader perspective at the macro level, as to what are the indicators that would reveal when the economy is going to slow down. And one of the best indicators is the inverted yield curve, because when the inverted yield curve when the yield curve inverts, when short-term rates go above long-term rates, that means the Federal Reserve is very concerned about an overheating economy, and they're going to pull back on the money creation or stop it or even cause the money supply to decline. And that means there's less liquidity in the system, and therefore businesses have to adjust to the new financial monetary reality. And they have to still stay in business by providing goods and services that people want, but they have to do so in a different economic climate. And so therefore, that's the challenge for them, is how do they keep their businesses afloat? How do they maintain their profit margins when the economy is going downhill?
And that's when stagflation and inflation and all these tricky words come to bear, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Dr. Murray Sabrin. They say he's retired, but he's writing books like a solution-oriented genius, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about it more in seconds. Merry Christmas to you from us. You are listening to Live Liberty Roundtable.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I know it's a strange brew, ladies and gentlemen, kind of a mix between Christmas and the difficult reality of the economy, where dishonest money seems to be the center stage. It's a distraction. It's a dishonest manipulation. But we want to make sure you know how to deal with it in your life, with your business, with your family, whether you're a student, whether you're an executive. MurraySabrin.com is where you go. We're talking to Dr. Murray Sabrin now. He's a retired professor of finance at Ramapo College. He immigrated with his family from West Germany a long time ago, but he came to the United States and he's been a free-thinking libertarian ever since. He's got multiple degrees, ladies and gentlemen, including a PhD in economic geography from Rutgers University. He also founded the Sabrin Center for Free Enterprise. And he did so with his wife. It's kind of cool. That was back in 2007, but he's been writing books as a retired professor now. And his brand new book, Navigating the Boom / Bust Cycle, An Entrepreneur's Survival Guide. We're talking about business owners are the backbone of America. But how can these corporate executives and small business owners and everybody else not only navigate this thing, but how do they, with their employees and et cetera, not only just survive, but how do they thrive when all these economic bubbles burst? And what actions should they take? Doctor?
Sam, that's why I wrote the book, is to give entrepreneurs, business decision makers, the tools that they need by looking at the economic data, by checking what's going on in their community, because that, after all, that's where their operations take place, whether it's at the town level, the county level, the state level, the regional level, and the national level, and sometimes the international level. And so you have to have your pulse on what's going on, because people get caught short, like we saw during the housing bubble. There were people who thought that housing prices would never go down, that demand for housing would go through the roof. And these great builders around the country built up inventory of houses and had options on land, and the whole thing just fell apart on them. Las Vegas was hit hard by the housing bubble, as we know, because they thought that the economy was going to keep on booming. And then when the bubble burst, people stopped going to Las Vegas, and the stock prices of some of these casino stocks fell by 80-90%. So then, of course, they go back up during the next boom cycle. So the point is, during a boom, it's imperative, I think, for businesses to put aside cash reserves to tide them over during the next downturn in the economy. Because if you don't have cash reserves, whether on a small business level or on a personal level, it's very difficult to get through the downturn in good financial shape. For large corporations, the question is, what they tend to do during a boom is they tend to overpay for assets by buying up other companies, and then when the economy turns down, they find that they really overpaid for them and revenues drop, and they may have taken on a lot of debt to buy those assets, and so they've got a sticky situation facing them and their shareholders. So again, the key thing for business is, what are you providing of value that your customers will stay with you during the downturn in the cycle? And that's where the entrepreneurial skills of men and women who run businesses come into play, where they have to forecast the future, because that's what entrepreneurship is all about, forecasting the future to make sure your customers are satisfied. And if you do that right, you can survive and thrive no matter what phase of the cycle we're in. But if you expand too much during the upswing, you're going to get caught short. But here's the interesting part. During the downturn, when people are going bankrupt and companies are going under, that's the time you can pick up assets on 10, 20 cents in the dollar and really make a ton of money on the next upswing. So the point is, you have to be aware of what this economic environment is and see exactly what consumers want to make sure that you can provide them value with the prices that you're offering. Otherwise, you may have to cut prices dramatically in order to move inventory out of your store.
You know, folks, that's why he started out the broadcast saying, look, it's complicated in a way, this financial reality, this economic system. But at the same time, it's fairly easy. What you've got to do is avoid panic, ladies and gentlemen. What you've got to do almost is take the opposite of where the market seems to be trending in a lot of ways, because that's what they do. They create these booms and these busts. And then what they do is they capitalize on you following their panic-driven, I don't know what you want to call it. Routes, booms, busts, pullbacks, manipulations, and because you do what they want you to do and what the panic-driven masses do, they play the other side always, and that's why when everybody else melts down, they get rich, and vice versa. And all you've got to do is be wise enough not to panic, wise enough to understand the role that the Federal Reserve plays in the boom and bust cycle. Watch a few of these tea leaf signs, if you will. And then, hey, since you're the backbone of America, small business, since you're the backbone of America, executive, there are ways that we can watch this. We can not only survive but thrive in these times if we watch the simple signs and have the guts, have the kind of the intestinal fortitude to take the actions that seem to go against the grain a lot of times. How about being a student? You know, a lot of people believe students or some of these other people are kind of left out. You're a student. You're thinking about retiring, changing jobs. People are going, man, I don't know. Should I do that? This time is not the right time to do that, is it, doctor?
Well, here's that thing that's kind of fascinating. Having taught finance for 35 years and teaching different generations of students, I think this generation of students is the most entrepreneurial that I've seen in the 35 years plus that I've been in the higher education field, because students saw the boom bust cycle during the housing bubble crashing, and they saw people getting laid off, people's businesses falling apart. And I think as youngsters, if they were 21 now and they were, and 12 years ago they were 9 and 10, and they saw family members or neighbors losing their jobs and businesses, they said, I don't want to work 9 to 5 and be subject to a possible unemployment situation during a downturn. So they become entrepreneurial. And the beauty thing is the internet allows people to start businesses with very little capital. You couldn't do that years ago where you had to have a physical presence in a store or a flea market or a mall, whatever the case may be. Now you can open up a business for maybe a few $100, get a website, get some business cards, do some marketing, and you're in business. As long as you provide something of value, which is the whole key to business, what are you providing of value that will make people come and knock on your door and or click on your website to get something that you have to offer?
These modern-day millennials have learned to play the gig economy like a fiddle, haven't they?
They're terrific. I mean, I have students that are doing extremely well. They were working when they were in my classes, and some of them are making a lot of money, well over six figures.
What about the great resignation? They're talking about, you know, in this economy where there's literally, I mean, I don't know how many, they say 11 million, 12 million jobs, like an unprecedented availability for jobs. But yet, you know what? The great resignation is underway too. People are leaving. People are saying, you know what? I know there's a ton of jobs out there, but partly the stimulus, which I'm not a fan of, but partly people are saying, look, we've learned to live with less because for the last 2 years we've been forced to as we've stayed home. They're saying, hey, this is a employee market. We can go look for what we want. Wages are going up. We can, you know, talk about the benefits of that or the concerns there. But the reality is this great resignation is taking place. On one hand, it's shocking. Is it wise to join them?
Well, this is what's so troubling about where we are now, given all the money the federal government has been spending since early 2000 when the pandemic hit and the Federal Reserve creating trillions of dollars to prop up the economy. The work ethic has been really reduced in this country substantially because of people getting paid not to work. I didn't grow up in the 1950s and 60s in New York City seeing my father not work. And so that was my model of if you want something, you work for it. And unfortunately, the way the government thinks or the way the economists think and the politicians think, people should get money for not working. To me, that's antithetical to every value that I believe in, because if you want something, you have to go provide a valuable good or service to the public so you can earn income to buy the things that you want. And so the government has distorted the labor market with minimum wage laws and all these other policies that they have. And by throwing money at people, and now, of course, some local communities are doing universal basic income, which means that you're getting someone else's money for not working. And to me, that's another form of theft. Why should people who are working have their money confiscated so people who are not working get some of those dollars? It's a crazy world out there, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business. Can you stay with me for five more minutes?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Murray Sabrin with me. The reason I want him to stay for five more minutes is right after the break, have your pen and pencil ready. I want to highlight how you can get discounts on his books and what's going on his website, murraysabrin.com. One more fun question about the economy as well. We'll talk about it in seconds with a good doctor on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Russian President Vladimir Putin last night reiterated his demands for guarantees from the United States and its allies that NATO will not expand eastwards, blaming the West for tensions that are building up in Europe. In a speech with Russia's top military brass, Putin demands NATO denies membership to Ukraine and other former Soviet countries and roll back the alliance's military deployment in Central and Eastern Europe. President Biden, talking to the American people Tuesday, explains his administration was caught off guard and the reason we're having a COVID-19 testing shortage across America.
It took so long, it didn't take long at all. What happened was the Omicron virus spread even more rapidly than anybody thought.
Biden announced they have now purchased 500 million testing kits. The order is expected to be filled after the holidays. The National Hockey League has pulled their players from participating in the Beijing Olympics due to COVID-19. USA Radio News.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Election, trade war. What in the world is the world coming to, and how will it affect your retirement? Fisher Investments has helped thousands of investors navigate all kinds of news and market conditions. Is your portfolio prepared? If you have $500,000 or more, call for Fisher's insightful free guide, The Stock Market Outlook, and learn how the market might impact your retirement this year. Call 1-800-379-4442. 1-800-379-4442.
You may be into punk rock, soft rock, or classic rock, R&B, hip-hop, or house, country, techno, or techno country. But no matter what kind of music you listen to, here's something else you should hear. Please consider getting vaccinated. Talk to your pharmacist today about Comirnaty, COVID-19 vaccine mRNA. This message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer.
The Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, has some advice for holiday travelers.
Millions of Americans will be flying to spend Christmas with family and friends, and the TSA wants air travelers to know the best way to fly with gifts. Don't wrap them. They might get unwrapped before you even get on the plane. If a wrapped gift is in luggage that's flagged by TSA, it will be unwrapped, whether it's checked in or carry-on. It's best to keep your gifts in a bag or box that can easily be opened for inspection. You can separately pack gifts in tissue wrapping paper, ribbons, and tape, and then wrap up the presents when you reach your destination. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A Harvard University professor has been convicted of hiding ties to a China-run recruitment program. Charles Lieber was found guilty of making false statements to authorities, filing false tax returns, and failing to report a Chinese bank account. His sentencing date is yet to be decided. USA Radio News.
Delighted to be live and on your radio this Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen. Merry Christmas to you from us, the Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting News the Networks Refuse to Use team. Speaking of News the Networks Refuse to Use, how about Dr. Murray Sabrin's latest books? Yeah, he's a retired professor of finance doing a great job. He's retired, but he's writing books big time, ladies and gentlemen, full of libertarian solutions, free market solutions. You gotta dig it. His brand new book, ladies and gentlemen, Navigating the Boom Bust Cycle, an entrepreneurial survivalist guide, if you will, sets out a provocative roadmap, if you will, for right now. Yeah, as Americans grapple with the difficult situations of inflation, fears, and more, how do you deal with it all? Well, Murray's got great libertarian free market answers. MurraySabrin.com is where you go to learn more. Tell us what's available there. There's discounts on books and more, right?
Yeah, there's a flyer that the publisher put out with a link to the page where you can order the book. And there's a code that you can apply to get a 20% discount on either the ebook or the paperback. And the publisher is very excited about this book because it's a very practical guide. There's no fluff in it. It's all good economic and financial research and application of how entrepreneurs, no matter what type of business they have, whether it's a mom-and-pop shop on Main Street to a medium-sized business to a large corporation, to find out how the economy unfolds and what they should be looking for to make plans accordingly to survive and thrive the business cycle.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. You probably won't get the book in time for Christmas now because it's a little late for that, but it'll arrive right after it. It'll be a great New Year's, I don't know if you want to call it a New Year's resolution book, but it'll certainly set you up for 2022 and beyond. MurraySabrin.com. It'll set you up to really deal with your life, whether you're a student, whether you're an executive, whether you run a small business, whatever you do. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand a little bit about how the Federal Reserve works. And then really, what do you think about my advice, doctor, about, you know what, whatever the market does, you almost do the opposite. Now, that's not 100% true, but it's a good guide to understand that not doing what they want you to do actually generates wealth, because that's what they do.
Well, contrary opinion seems to work quite well. For example, Warren Buffett famously wrote an op-ed in October 2008, and the market bottomed out in March 2009. He said he's buying stocks because he says that they're cheap. And he was basically right, because the stock market has gone crazy since the bottom of March 2009. And of course, it had bumps along the way. But let me give you a longer-term forecast of the stock market and the economy. And here's an interesting fact I uncovered when I was doing the research. Every year ending in zero, beginning in 1920, has been either a recession or depression, except 2010, when the recession occurred earlier in 2008 and 2009. So if we extrapolate that, and this is just an extrapolation, based upon the historical trend for the past 100 years, the next major downturn should occur in 2030, which would be the 100th anniversary of the 1929 crash. So I'm just putting that out there for people to realize that there are these cycles that we have, and it's hard to explain why. All we know, we can observe them, and if we extrapolate them, that could be another bump in the road, so to speak, for the U.S. economy. And there's another indicator I uncovered that was discovered by Tom McClellan, an investment analyst in the West Coast. He pointed out that the price of oil forecast the stock market 10 years in advance. And so he's looking for another major decline in the stock market in 2024, because the price of oil had a major peak in 2014. So again, he uncovered it. He doesn't know why it happened, but it's just a wonderful correlation that he's put out there for people to look at. And so I incorporated that in my book, saying, hey, there's something you should look at as to what could happen. But from the practical perspective of a day-to-day business decision maker, the book provides that information that you need in order to make sure that you don't get caught short when the economy turns down, because a lot of great business people, they got caught short in a major downturn, and they either have to sell their business, or they go out of business or liquidate the business because they've overexpanded themselves during the boom.
A little bit of patience, put back a little bit of money. Those principles that your parents and grandparents taught you are still vital and right, ladies and gentlemen. But you got to pay attention to the markets. You got to learn what things mean. You got to watch for these correlations. And you've got to protect yourselves. I always say a little bit of beans, a little bit of Band-Aids, a little bit of bullets, a lot of love, following Christ. Those are your greatest protections. Dr. Murray Sabrin, thank you so much, sir, for your time. And Merry Christmas to you. And tell your wife, thank her for all that she does, too. I know she probably doesn't get the credit she deserves. I know she started things with you, and she's been along for the ride, and behind the scenes does a lot. Give her some credit and thank her for us, and wish her a Merry Christmas, will you?
Well, thank you, Sam. We've been together now for 56 years. The last 53, we've been married, and everything is going extremely well, and we hope that it continues for many, many more years. So thank you for having me on, and again, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. The American people deserve better than what we're getting today from our so-called political leaders in Washington, D.C.
God bless you, sir. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Murray Sabrin doing a great job at his website, murraysabrin.com. Check it out. Incredible books, incredible education, giving you kind of a summary and an understanding of what a lot of researchers have really studied so hard to discover and understand about the patterns of the booms and busts and a whole lot more, and how you ought to respond to not only survive, but to thrive. Wow, that's sorely needed in today's society. MurraySabrin.com. He's got the book on the health stuff we talked about several weeks ago as well. And that's really important, too, for you and your family to manage your health appropriately. He talked about a lot of the great solutions with doctors, developing a relationship directly with your specific doctor designed to keep you healthy. There's really a lot of stuff that he talks about, but all of it is libertarian based. All of it is solutions oriented. A lot of it is so simple. You go, why didn't I think of that? Right. It's that kind of stuff where it takes a doctor to put it on the kitchen table and gather all this research so that you can then interpret it and go, wow. And then pretty soon you're the smartest guy in the room because you listen to libertarians that understand free markets and more. That's how it all. That's how it all works, ladies and gentlemen. MurraySabrin.com. We wanted to give you that Christmas present, telling you about his brand new book and a whole lot more. And, you know, there you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Should you join the Great Resignation at this time? Let me just kind of talk about that just for a second. All I can tell you is this. I am a big, big believer in two things. Well, I should say three things. One, your gut. Your gut tells you a ton. It's not always right, but it's right most of the time. A gazillion times more right than your head. So one, follow your gut. Two, reject your head oftentimes, unless your head aligns with your gut. And then three, gain this simple knowledge that we're talking about, the booms and bust cycles, the patterns, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I think that it's the gig economy, and it's continuing to rise, and more entrepreneurs are out there. And if you feel like you want to be an entrepreneur, you know what? You got to take a chance to do what you love. It's all about dreams. You know, they tell you in movies everywhere, follow your dreams, do what your heart tells you. But people rarely ever do. And I submit you may not get rich doing what you love, but you'll sure feel free. And if you work on it, you can be successful, though. Let's not underestimate how many people have been successful. And last but not least, probably first and most important, I would pray. Pray to God about what you should do. He can give you guidance. You're his son or daughter, and he loves you, and he can give you impressions and feelings. There's your gut again. Some call it your conscience. Some call it the light of Christ, your gut, your conscience, the light of Christ. However you refer to it, fine. But that's where you ought to go for direction, ladies and gentlemen. Putting the study and the work that you have into it, weighing the pros and cons, making your decision, taking it to God Almighty and saying, here's what I'm thinking of doing, Father. It reminds me of Tavia. Talking to your father, and you know, Lord, what do I do? How do I? And he'll guide you. He'll give you comfort and strength when it's right, and peace in your heart. And when it's wrong, you'll be like, I don't know. Some call it a stupor of thought. Some call it confusion. You'll know if you're confused. Don't go with it. If you feel good and peaceful, it's probably the way to go. There's a lot of ways to go about these things, and it's not impossible to make these decisions. But it is certainly an employee's market right now. I'll tell you that. Wow. Okay, a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had our guest on, Miss Ann Vandersteel. Incredible talk show host. She's a TV host of the broadcast, the TV show, every night, Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, called Steel Truth. America's News with Ann Vandersteel is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. The Steel Truth lives on among all of us. And we know in our hearts that it exists. Will we ever truly experience the rawness of the truth untainted by the fake news? Well, if you go to steeltruth.com, libertyroundtable.com, and other places, you're a whole lot more likely to experience it than if you don't. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Regrets? Oh, we're all going to have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're going to wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets. But talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Ladies and gentlemen, what are you doing for Christmas? I'm broadcasting live on your radio, spending time with my radio family, one of my favorite things on the planet to do. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're going to focus on God, family, and country, because that's what I'm doing. By the way, last Sunday, I got some time or an opportunity to spend some time with some friends who have an incredible tradition at their home. They both lived in Germany for quite some time, and they learned the language, and they learned the customs and everything else, and they really do the Advent. And each week, you light a candle, and it gets brighter and brighter, celebrating the light of Christ. And what they do is they sing Christmas songs and songs about Christ together in the dark, and then they light this candle. And anyway, it's tremendous. It's a wonderful celebration. It's Christmas time, where we sing together and feel the Spirit of Christ. It's a tremendous, wonderful, one of my favorite things to do every year. What are you doing with your time? Are you running around in fear about vaccinations, and or are you having faith in Christ? By the way, we talked to Ann Vandersteel yesterday, Steel Truth, and Ann is a thought leader and a trailblazer, folks, in the new media. Her show is a top-shelf, primetime news-making show full of incredible research. Steel Truth thoroughly vets sources, provides evidence, and reports like nobody's business. Only the facts, wherever those facts may lead. Anyway, she was a great guest. Trump acknowledged he had a booster shot, and the audience booed Donald Trump. And I say shame on the audience, folks. Listen, you may or may not agree with the vaccines. You may or may not like them. You may or not be willing to take them, et cetera, et cetera. But look, you got to support choices, and you got to be honest. If you want your choice to be supported to not take the vaccines, then you better respect people's choices who want to take the vaccines, who believe in them. Donald is one of those. He believes in the vaccines. He thinks they're great. He was in charge of Operation Warp Speed, and now he's taken three of them. He believes in them. He loves them. Now, I disagree with him on that. I don't love him, and I don't believe in him. But I will defend to the death Trump's right to take the vaccines, as I hope he will defend my right not to. So I want to just say to those who are booing the president, you know, shame on you. You should celebrate his choices too. Do you believe in free agency or the ability for people to choose? Or do you believe government should choose for you? See, I don't like the vaccines and I don't want to take them. I hope Donald Trump will defend to the death my right to not take them. So far, he's been an open advocate for agency, for choice. He said, look, I don't believe in mandates. Thank you, President Trump. I agree, and I'll defend your right, as I hope you'll defend mine, even though we may choose different outcomes individually. We have that right. That's America. That's the genius of the greatest country on the face of the earth, right? All right, we talked about Operation Omicron. People are believing that there's going to be mass death in the next several months. They say, are these deep state folks preparing for mass murder in the weeks ahead? I don't think so. As I mentioned, my opinion, I'm convinced that they released Omicron because the other one was too aggressive. And it was killing too many people. And they've got more deaths in 2021 than they had in 2020, even though the vaccines are out. Even though most of us have had COVID or taken the vaccines. And you know what? We should have a great, great immunity going on here. But yet people are dying left and right. And they know that proves the vaccine doesn't work. So I believe they probably released the Omicron variant to kind of tame it down and go, hey, let's spread it faster. Let's get a little bit more immunity. We're not ready to pull the plug on the economy and on society yet. If we go too fast, the natives will get restless. If we go too fast, they will fire Fauci. Right now, there's the few of us talking about firing Fauci for his dishonesty and his immorality, but not enough of us. But if I'm telling you, if more and more people die in this, so they want a softer version. Eventually, do they want population control Bill Gates style? Absolutely. But they want to kind of slow it down because, again, they've got a soft war in America going on against us all. That's the deep state, right? They want a hard war. Not yet, right? So they're backing off intentionally. So, by the way, the New York State lawmakers are being asked to pass to approve concentration camps for the sick. The plan would have the governor decide who would be locked up. The article's written by Bob Unruh. It's in WND.com. Great article highlighting what they're really doing. Will such concentration camps become a reality in the United States, ladies and gentlemen? My response is only if we allow them. Hopefully Americans will be smart. Fauci was asked, for example, or Fauci was asked, if wearing masks on airplanes will ever go away. Fauci said, I don't think so. Okay, this guy's already planning to have us wear masks literally indoors forever. On planes, who knows? The guy's out of control. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live with Ann Vandersteel doing a phenomenal job. Hour two, we had simulcast with Brighteon.tv and the Sheriff Mac Show. We were talking to a guest by the name of Greg Beffert. He's a Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association member, CSPOA.org, member by choice. He's a retired Northern California peace officer. And he spoke out boldly to his city council, saying they're lying, saying they're going along with the propaganda regarding COVID, locking people down, destroying people's businesses, forcing masks, etc. Regarding local tyranny, he really stood tall to say, you know what, guys, shame on you. Are you going to do what's right? And we asked Greg, hey, how well is that working? He said, since then, they backed off on a lot of things. So ladies and gentlemen, the point is when good people stand up, when articulate people are bold, and we hold them to account for their service to us. Remember, they work for us. Folks, don't forget that. They derive their just power from the consent of the governed, if you believe in the Declaration of Independence, right? Understand that. Okay, so when we hold them to account, we don't want to be belligerent. We don't want to get crazy. But his three-minute speech was incredible. We played that speech yesterday on the radio. Available at libertyroundtable.com if you want the audio version, or available at brighteon.tv if you want to watch the video. Greg doing a great job on the simulcast yesterday. We also talked about Joe Biden gets 40 judges confirmed in the first year. Do you realize that's double Donald Trump's number? So when we hear that the Republicans have got to be in charge so they can get their appointees to the court, well, sadly, a lot of Republican appointees have betrayed us over the years. But now we find that Joe Biden has got double the numbers of Donald Trump in the first year. 40 judges confirmed. That means the Republicans are going along and being quite helpful. As they criticize Joe on everything under the sun, they're backing his agenda when it comes to the spending us into oblivion and when it sure comes to judges stacking the courts for Biden's agenda. Isn't that a frightening sight? We also talked about Senator Rand Paul says, friend, I have three big things on my wish list this year. You say, what are they? He wants to fire Fauci. He wants to back away from this pandemic that seems to be abusing us. And good for him, right? We certainly need that. So fire Fauci, put an end to King Biden's tyrannical orders, and take back the Senate. That's what he wants to do. I don't know that taking back the Senate really has a lot of advantage. I don't mean to be rude, but just putting a bunch of neocon Republicans in office again so they can tell us they'll abolish health care at the government level, but then not do it. So they can promise they'll double down for pro-life to not do it. So they can, well, you say, Sam, it's better than the other guy. I guess, whatever. Republicans go to sleep when those guys are in office and more damage is done. A lot of damage was caused under Donald Trump. Even though Donald tried to do the right thing on many occasions, he was betrayed by his party. I'll tell you that right now. Those folks now that are raising money under Donald's name are the people that betrayed him while he was in office. Big time. The Republican Party is one of them. The Republican Party was against Donald. They tried to undermine him at every turn. Now they act like they're his best friend when they want to get elected and when they're the losing party, the minority, and they want to become the majority. They're all doubling down and trying to cozy up to the President Trump. Now, what a shame on them. So I'm not sure, Rand Paul, that getting Republicans back in office is really the answer at all. It's official, ladies and gentlemen. More Americans have died under Joe Biden than they did under Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden swore he'd shut down the virus. Joe Biden criticized Donald Trump and said, you're doing it all wrong. I got a better plan. I'll save everybody. And now, look, a year later into the Biden presidency, it's all gone wrong. Donald had a year and less people died. Biden had a year and more people died. Now we're on the cusp of a disaster. At least that's according to Joe. Yeah, Joe's telling you got to worry. Get vaccinated. That's your only hope. Never mind that the vaccinations don't work. Anyway, he had a whole press conference about how he's going to continue to spend us into oblivion. The coronavirus crisis, ladies and gentlemen, the fear mongers are telling us you could see 1 million Omicron variant cases per day. Where's this departing National Institutes of Health director, Dr. Francis Collins? 1 million Omicron variant cases a day. Well, how many will die a day out of that million then, sir? They're not telling us, huh? Health officials are also warning that the, quote, Omicron variant will cause super high hospitalization numbers. Yeah. While that's going on, Maxine Waters caught maskless on cross-country United Airlines flight. So we all have to wear masks by force. But, hey, Maxine's Maxine. She can do whatever she wants, right? Tucker Carlson went off on that, doing a great job highlighting the double standard that we see. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker tested positive, even though he's had all three shots. Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, same thing. We're having breakthrough infections left and right. They want you to believe that the vaccines are the only hope we've got. 48 people, believe it or not, test positive on the Symphony of the Seas ship from the Caribbean, however you want to, you know. Anyway, everybody was fully vaccinated, but they all got sick, all 48 of them. So those are breakthrough infections. And look, they're starting to have to admit there's more and more breakthrough infections than you can imagine. Archives of the simulcast of the Sheriff Mac Show and Liberty Roundtable Live second hour are available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net for your radio version. And for the video version, go to Brighteon.com. Brighteon.tv is where the live stream is. Brighteon.com is where the archives are. Check it out. Go there. Great stuff. And that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. That's also the incredible interview with Dr. Murray Sabrin. It's also a lot of Christmas love coming your way on your radio, right? Yeah. Positive viewpoints. What can you do to survive and thrive? Merry Christmas. What are you doing for Christmas? Right? Joe Biden told reporters that he was not supposed to have a press conference. My question for Joe is, who gives you orders, sir? Who gives you orders, Joe, that tells you you're not supposed to do this, not supposed to do that, huh? Because as far as I know, you were elected president. If somebody else has given you orders of what you can and cannot do, are they elected, sir? Who gives the president, the chief executive, the leader of the free world orders of what he is supposed to and not supposed to do? He said this multiple times, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's a national security threat to even wonder who's giving him, quote, marching orders. It's certainly a violation of his oath of office, I can promise you that. Shame on Joe. All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Merry Christmas. God save the Republic of the United States of America.